see on me?
Oh, very well, darling.
I would be very disappointed if you did not hear me.
No, darling, yes.
How are you?
I'm very dear, very well, darling. Your voice is so nice and clear, darling.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
Of course you hear me.
Yes.
I only wish it were possible for you to hear me at home.
Yes.
That's where I would like most,
darling,
that you should hear me. Although I love coming to talk to you here, but
yes,
I would give anything,
yes,
if it were possible to,
yes,
speak to you in our own apartment.
Yes,
you know?
Darling.
I think this would be so wonderful.
I dream of that, darling.
I know, and I dream of it too.
Yes.
And between us, we should be able to make it a reality.
How very good. I will make a dark room as soon as I get back. Sit in it for an hour.
With a tape recorder?
Yes, with a tape recorder.
Well, who knows, maybe.
Yes.
I will be able to do something in that direction.
Yes, darling.
I still have faith, you know,
yes,
that we shall do something like that.
But
you must not give up the
trying
to the tape recorder, because I am convinced that it is possible.
Yes.
Because I know it is possible. Other people have done it.
But I should know when to put the tape recorder on. If I don't,
well, all you do...
If I don't hear your voice.
Well, all you do is have a clean tape.
Yes.
And just...
Put it on.
Start it. And run it for an hour.
Uh-huh.
And then, well, we will see what we can do with,
yes,
anything.
Yes.
But there's no reason why we should not try.
Of course, the charm of it is to hear your voice at the same time as the tape recorder is recording.
Well, I don't know. Possibly,
yes,
you might. But
yes.
Sometimes it is due to the vibration.
Yeah.
It's so different.
Yes.
For your hearing is one thing.
Yes.
And vibrating on a different wavelength to,
yes,
receive on a recording, sensitive,
yes,
recording machine is different.
Yeah.
So it may be that what you don't hear audibly, you will hear on the recorder.
Yes, sir.
And the vibration is so different. We have to slow down.
You see...
You know, when I come and talk to you here,
mm,
this is where the difference comes, I think, between,
yes,
trying to communicate with a tape recording on a vibration, which is so much faster. With the aid of a power of a medium,
yes,
we are able to slow the vibration down so that we speak more naturally, I suppose that is the word. It is slowed down because the ectoplasm is built on a vibration which is material, more near your normal vibration.
Yes.
And therefore, this acts in the way whereby we can sort of communicate on a natural wavelength as far as you are concerned. But when we don't have a medium, and then the vibration is so much of a higher rate,
yeah,
that when you hear a recording, it's as if we are speaking very fast,
yeah,
you know.
But you see, I will be a medium sometime.
Well, you are a medium in a way.
Yeah.
I think that success with tape recordings will come better,
uh-huh,
when there is someone there who has a power of a mediumistic quality.
Yeah.
I think... I don't know, this is my own interpretation, you know,
yes,
but I have a very strong feeling that the greatest success with tape recordings,
yes,
will be when there is someone present who is extremely psychic,
uh-huh,
and it will be a sort of, how you say, not exactly like this,
mm,
and yet there will be something of the same nature.
Mm.
I think the medium is necessary to slow down the vibrations,
that's right,
to bring them onto a level of consciousness and a level of awareness, you,
yes,
know.
Yes.
I think this is so. I don't know exactly,
yes,
technically.
Yeah.
I'm not a technician, you know.
No, that's...
But vibrations, an animal, for instance, hears and senses and knows things,
yes,
on a different wavelength.
Yes.
Is able to recognize things.
Yes.
Hear things at a distance.
Mm.
An animal, for instance, will hear its master,
mm,
coming up the road.
Yes.
And be conscious of the presence of its master,
yes,
approaching,
yes,
the door.
That's right.
And will bark in consequence,
yes,
perhaps when the person concerned is, ooh, quite a distance away.
Yes,
and yet the person in the house will not know of the presence of that person until they ring the doorbell,
yes,
or put their key in the door.
Yes.
Animals are extremely sensitive. I think if an animal is in a room,
yes,
doing a tape recording session, that may have some help towards the result,
yes,
because we can draw the animal magnetism and the power.
Mm.
But of course, a medium, being human, and is having intelligence of a kind far removed from the animal is much better.
Yes.
That's why a medium, you see, people don't understand this.
No.
All this business, you know, communication with tape recordings, I am convinced that when it is achieved, on, you know, when it is a good reception,
yes,
it's invariably because there is someone present who is extremely psychic.
Yes.
And it is really a form of mediumship. They will not perhaps always recognize this. You see, their whole idea is to obtain these results with nothing whatever, what you would say, to do with spiritualism or mediums.
Yeah.
But I don't think they realize that it is almost certain that mediumship takes place, that it is partly responsible.
Do you think music helps in any way, just before?
Well, I think music is helpful because it stirs vibrations or creates a vibration.
Uh-huh.
And it raises the, if it is the right kind of music,
yeah,
it raises the wavelength and it waves, it arises the people on a different level of consciousness.
Yeah.
Music, if it is the kind of music which is conducive to spiritual thoughts or lifting one above material things, this is helpful.
Yeah. You know, I have a record of a meditation school called Hare Krishna.
Ah, I know of it.
You know of it?
Mm.
Now, I have a record of that, and I often play that, and, you know, the vibrations immediately alter, so much so that the hair on my head, you know, stands up.
I know.
You see?
Oh, you see, all these things,
yeah,
like the Krishna,
yeah,
and many other things, are all on the same level,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
They may call them this, or they may call them that, or they may hum,
yeah,
or they may sing,
yeah,
a certain things over and over again,
yeah,
creating a certain something in the atmosphere.
That's right.
Which is helpful.
Yeah.
But really, fundamentally, what they are doing is, whatever their religious beliefs or lack of them or convictions, you know,
yeah,
they are merely creating a certain condition,
yeah,
which is helpful,
yeah,
to our communication or,
yeah,
the results that we hope to produce.
That's right.
But it doesn't mean that because you do this or do that, that that is necessarily...
No.
It may be right for one person to become a Buddhist, or it may become right,
no,
for another person to become a Christian.
No.
Providing it does not make you, in consequence, narrow. You see, the worst thing a person can do is to have their minds closed to,
yes,
truth,
right, yes, yes, yes,
from whatever source it may come.
Yes.
Because truth is universal.
Yes, yes.
It's got nothing to do with creeds and dogmas.
Yes.
Or any particular religious belief or,
yeah,
conviction.
Correct.
What is important is what you are within your innermost soul,
yes,
and what your aspirations are, uh-huh, and what you are endeavoring to do.
Correct.
I mean, this is important. Actually, in a kind of way, the labels, you know, whether,
yeah,
you call yourself this or that,
yeah,
are unimportant.
Yeah.
If what happens is that you yourself, because of what you accept,
yeah,
makes you a kinder and a nicer person,
mm,
a more humane person, a more spiritually minded person.
Yeah.
And then this is all that is important.
Yeah.
You can throw away completely all the rituals and the creed and the dogmas.
Yes,
and all, because these are things that make people narrow,
yeah, that's
so that separate, yeah, men from men.
Yeah.
The point is that one has to have a universal realization of what it is all about, you know,
correct,
what life is all about,
yeah, correct,
what,
yeah,
love is all,
yeah,
about.
Yeah.
And there are many aspects to many of these things, it's,
yeah,
true, but they are all part and parcel of the same.
Yeah.
If only people could understand this.
No.
I mean, it doesn't matter,
yeah,
really, whether you have Tchaikovsky music, or whether you have Mozart,
yeah,
or whether you have, if it suits you,
yeah,
or helps you, whether you sing an ordinary hymn.
Yeah.
Or whether you hum some sort of music which you have
yeah,
found helpful to,
yeah,
you,
yeah,
or even something you have written yourself.
Yeah.
It is not the thing itself,
no,
it is the condition it creates,
yeah,
you know.
That's right, you're right. I think that's right.
I mean, when you are at home and you have this music, it raises the vibration, it helps you, it elevates you, it lifts you out of material thoughts and conditions temporarily. It creates a vibration, and it brings, in a sense, an awareness, because this is true. You know, when you are most relaxed, you know, when your door is shut, and when you are thinking of spiritual things and me and everything, this is where we are able to draw near to you. Yes. It's as if you're raising yourself a little higher, and in consequence not making it so difficult for us to reach you.
Yes.
We are lowering our vibration, whereas you are hiring yours, and between the two, we are able to unite, you know.
Correct. Yes.
And this is what is happening, with, in a sense,
you
with
know,
tape recordings.
You know,
people don't realize this. I don't mean they necessarily are approaching it spiritually, or they're even aware of its spiritual significance.
Yes.
And many of these people who are scientifically minded, sometimes they have no idea that they are doing something unconsciously. I mean, they are trying to be cold and calculating, trying to research, you know, trying to say, oh, well, this must be done on a very scientific level.
Yes.
But really, they mean well, but they unconsciously sometimes, without realizing it, inhibit rather than help.
Exactly.
I mean, if they could see this for what it is, reaching out, which of course in a way they do, but reaching out to a different dimension, reaching out to a higher level of consciousness, reaching out to people who have progressed, in many cases, far beyond the confines and material things of us, then they themselves must realize or should realize that if they hope to succeed or achieve some success, they must also have a spiritual attitude of mind and approach. In other words, they must see this on for what it is, not purely material or scientific. You see, they approach it purely in a materialistic way, but they are dealing with things outside the material. So how can they hope for real success if they only consider it or approach it purely on a material level? They must dedicate themselves in a spiritual sense, realizing that if they are to achieve success, they must approach it not only in a scientific or material way, but with a spiritualistic or spiritual basis.
Correct.
You know, this is a tragedy. They are so anxious for conviction in a strong material way that they often defeat their own ends.
You know.
You know.
Yeah. You know,
perhaps I talk too much. Huh?
No, nothing. You were saying that in our country, there is such a high mortality rate where people commit suicide and they are tired of life and the futility of life, in spite of the fact that they live under quite good conditions, denied to most of the people in the world.
Well, this is an example, in a way, one would think, of course, that if a person has everything to be happy about, in other words, they have security, they have a good job, they have good health, they have a good home, this would be conducive to them having the kind of mind that would lift them to some extent out of material things. What I mean by this is that if they have no undue stress or strain or worry, then they should be more receptive to the things of the mind and of the spirit.
But
strangely enough, they are not.
No. But don't you think that children should be awakened at an early age to the realities of...
But my dear, this is true. And I think that in a kind of odd way, unconsciously, they are. But it is knocked out of them. I mean, for instance, when you have some of these extraordinary happenings, which cannot be accounted for scientifically.
No.
I mean, for instance, you have some strange happenings in a house where things are moving or thrown about or whatever it may be.
Yes.
Invariably, you find there is a youngish person there, perhaps about 15 or 16 years of age. This is the whole thing.
Yeah.
The vitality and the power and the energy
that
is used within this person, within this young person, which is of a psychic origin.
Yeah.
But everyone is afraid. Everyone thinks, this is terrible, you know, we are haunted. And they don't understand it, and they try to exorcise, you know, they get the priest in to exorcise. Actually, the priest hasn't any knowledge of these real realities.
No,
all they think about is evil spirits.
Yes.
They acknowledge the possibility of evil spirits, and yet they would not accept the communication necessarily with good spirits.
Yes.
This I don't understand. You know, all these things are natural laws.
Yes.
I'm not breaking any law in coming to you.
No.
I am merely obeying natural laws,
which
are there, which have been there since time immemorial, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
My coming to you is a natural thing.
Yes.
Ancient peoples understood it.
Yes.
Even peoples who lived for centuries in the jungles,
yes,
before they were so-called civilized,
that's right,
they had some knowledge of these things.
Yes, yes.
They worshipped their ancestors,
yes,
and communicated with their ancestors.
Yes, yes.
It's civilization,
mm-hmm,
and orthodox religions
that
have brought a form of sophistication of a kind,
yes,
and have brought with them fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fear stems from religion.
Yes.
The extraordinary thing is, people don't realize this, but over centuries of teachings, the church has instilled fear into people where it never existed. They instill fear of the hereafter, fear of death.
Yes.
They instill fear of the consequences of things, you know, an evil spirit, the devil.
Yes.
I mean, the church is responsible for a great deal of the unhappiness in the world.
Yes.
You know, perhaps it sounds if I'm anti-church, but
I'm not anti-church, but I'm anti-dogma
and creed and the things which blind people to the realities.
Correct.
The church has always wanted power
and
created these things to obtain power,
to
control people, to control their minds,
and
to control their bank balance too.
Yes, exactly.
You know, quite frankly, I have learned a great deal since I've been here.
A great deal
of the world's miseries has been brought about through religion.
Look at what is happening in Ireland.
I know.
Yes.
Religion is the curse of mankind.
Yes, absolutely. And the sooner.
And yet the fundamental truth of religion is good.
Yes.
It's what man has done to
you. It's perverted.
I mean, Christ came into the world to show man how he should live, to set an example, to show what could be accomplished if you worked in cooperation and in harmony with the power of the Spirit. I mean, he demonstrated these things, and all the great teachers and many of the great saints began to realize these things and demonstrated them.
But
the church has ruined lives.
Yes.
Millions of people's lives have been ruined by wrong teaching, through fear.
Yes, that was why I was asking you the other day, what happens to all these bishops and popes and cardinals?
Well, of course, it is harder for them.
Yes.
Than it is for many another person.
Yes.
I mean, many people who have strong religious convictions, when they first come here, find it much harder.
Yes.
Because they have to unlearn. They have to cast aside many of their
ideas, and
preconceived notions. And the person who comes here, who is a reasonably decent human being, who has no strong fixed views or opinions in a religious sense, is a much better, happier person.
Yes.
You know, this is very true, but people don't know it.
But I think a time must come when every school must teach a growing child the great truths of the Spirit.
From the early infancy, a child should be taught
that
he is a material being and a spiritual being.
And
that if he works together in harmony with the material and the spiritual, then he is a unit, you know. He is a harmonious whole, as it were. But man is taught to develop himself materially and develop his material gifts for material gain and benefit.
Yes.
But he is never taught to develop his spiritual faculties to be able to tune in and to realize the reality of the things of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit.
Yeah.
So these are the things that can help a child
and
help a person as they grow older. Yeah. To live a balanced existence.
Now, you see,
in
schools, in the modern curriculum, they put the accent on wrong things, like sex.
Well, of course, everything has its place,
but
I don't know, it's so stupid.
Yes, it distorts.
These things are natural things.
Yes.
they shouldn't even need teaching.
Teaching, it distorts
the... It's unnecessary. It's not necessary.
No, it distorts
a certain amount of education along a certain line, in a clear-cut way, you know, is necessary, perhaps, and helpful. But there's too much accent on the physical and no accent on the spiritual. And if there is an accent on the spiritual, it's in a narrow, creedal way. Our way of thinking or our particular brand of religion is right and everyone else is wrong. Mm. This makes people grow up with very narrow views and even teaches them directly or indirectly to dislike other people or other creeds or religions or beliefs.
Yes, exactly.
Oh no, there's a lot wrong with the churches.
Yes, yes.
The churches are to blame for the ignorance.
I agree.
And they are the ones who are creating the havoc in the world.
Yes, absolutely, you're right. Absolutely.
I mean, behind statesmen and many of the things that happen through statesmen, religion is behind it.
Yes. Tell me, I ask you, do you know the frequency in your existence? Is it very high frequency?
Which is much higher than Earth.
Yes, I know. But have you got any idea? How many cycles?
I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't know whether it is even feasible to find out.
Yeah. But do try that, darling. I have often wondered, because if one knew the frequency of that sphere, perhaps it might be possible to design a receiver that would tap that frequency without you lowering
I would have thought it would be a very interesting experiment, you know, if communication could be experimented when they go to the moon.
Yes.
Or perhaps in an airplane when it is at a great height.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I should think the vibrations are much higher, you know.
Mm. Yes. Because you...
I wonder what they would do if they went into the moon and they tried these experiments.
Yeah.
You know, there is life on other planets.
Yeah.
And one day, perhaps, who knows, there will be communication.
But life in not the material sense, darling, is it? It's life
it's not in a
higher vibration.
Oh, of course it is on a different vibration.
I mean,
but there is life where there is intelligence.
Yes.
And there are people who are much more highly evolved than on Earth.
I mean, many times I've heard that people go to the moon, people are living on the moon, and all these astronauts find nothing that would sustain life, but they don't realize...
But they don't know what kind of life. It may be invisible to them, but they may be viewed.
Yes.
People may be there, but they're not visible to the astronauts. And everything that the astronauts are doing may be visible to the people there.
Yes. For instance, you say you don't need food, you don't need water, you don't need anything like that. What the material life requires.
So one doesn't need these things in our condition of life.
No.
And once one has released one's mind from these things, then you no longer think about them.
No.
But while you hold on to those ideas and theories or whatever, you know, then they do have a meaning. And temporarily, at least some people, when they come here, feeling the desire for certain things, are allowed to have them.
Yes.
But really what they're having is an illusion. It's from their own subconscious or conscious mind.
Yes.
You know?
Tell me, does the hair grow of a man in your realm? Now, for instance, should I have to shave every day?
No.
No?
Of course not. This is simple, because you grow your hair long, but if you decide that you do not want your hair long, then by the power of your thought, it's short.
Yes,
you see, when you can realize what thought is all about,
everything
in your life is created by thought.
There
is nothing of any substance
that is not
an illusion, really.
Yes.
It merely vibrates in harmony with everything in your world.
Yes.
But everything is created by man, by thought force. First he has to think, and then he has to create.
Yeah.
Thought is the basis of all life.
Yes.
And therefore, in our world, if we think on a certain level of consciousness,
then
that particular thing, or whatever it may be, becomes a reality.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, it's very important, but very difficult to explain.
Yes. Because, for instance, you had short hair, and now you've grown long hair.
If I want to come to you, yes. And I want to appear with long hair, I can appear with long hair.
Yes,
if I want to appear with short hair, by concentration of my thought, temporarily, I can have short or long hair.
Yes. I see.
It is all so simple, in a way, and yet difficult perhaps for you to grasp.
Yes,
that.
Yes, it is. And you can even change the color of your hair.
We can. Well, that is so, but one doesn't necessarily do these things. I mean, you are talking, people ask these kind of questions. These are things which we can do if it pleases us.
Yes.
But one doesn't necessarily always think on those lines. I mean, there is no point, in a way. I mean, why should I want to change the color of my hair when I'm quite happy with it?
Yes.
And
yes.
Also, you would not like it if it were red or something,
No.
Oh, no. I am exactly the same as you remember me.
Yes, I see.
But also, since age has nothing to do with us here, time is limitless, you know, then I can appear, as indeed I am in my own environment here, young.
Yes.
Old age is purely material.
Yes.
So we think young and we are young.
Yeah.
But sometimes, for evidential purposes, I might appear to someone as I was when I last on earth, looking older. But that's only temporary.
Yeah.
As I enter into material conditions, I take on something of my old remembrances, and in consequence I appear very similar.
Mm.
But when you come here, you're going to be very young, and I should be very young too.
Yes.
The children sent all their love and blessings to you. Now you are coming tomorrow?
Darling, give them my love.
I will. I see you tomorrow.
Yes,
I have to go.
Yes, darling.
Bless you. I don't know. I just don't know how to sometimes to say things that are near to my heart, but I love you, and I see you tomorrow.
Okay, darling.
I don't like saying goodbye, but it seems the thing to say now.
Yeah. Thank you, darling.
You know, she's marvelous.
Yes, she is.
Really marvelous. She really is.
Yes.
And she's learned so much.
Yes.
And she knows so much, and she wants to tell you so much.
Yes.
And she wants you to carry on with your experiments. Yes,
darling.
Well, bye-bye. See you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, Nathan. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, it did very well.
Oh, yes.